Epilogue. This is the decade of the Neanderthals. Generations have stared at the great bony monuments to their own existence, trying to reflesh them in the mind's eye. We want to see those broad feet and legs that stretched and climbed rough hills or crouched behind leaves. Those arms and hands that hefted boulders filled with future tools, or still warm horse thighs marbled with delicious fat. After so long grasping brief seconds of connection, the visceral, electrifying thrill to finally know they're still with us. In the rushing beat of billions of hearts, in babies coming squalling into the light, has not yet worn off. But it's always been their skulls that haunted us. Huge faces, familiar and also strange, behind which subtle brains once rested, processing a vanished world beheld by voided eye sockets. And yet, all things pass. Like a famished wolf in the hollow of a tree, they are like the river and the fall. Nothing stands against them. This is William Golding's vision of humanity spreading across the world, seen through the eyes of his gentle Neanderthal protagonist, Locke. Its chilling vision was published 99 years after the Feldhofer discovery and 40,000 years, almost 10 times less than the span of Neanderthal's existence, since the world shrank to just one sort of human, us. Carried within our bodies, today the Neanderthals face another crisis. Earth, where we exist in a frighteningly thin atmosphere, like honey smeared on an apple, has long strained against the increasing load we place upon it. Our shared fascination for material properties has metastasized into a tumor of creation and consumption, as our clever fingers fashion ever more things from stone, iron, plastic. As I finish this book from home lockdown in 2020, existential questions abound. The COVID-19 pandemic has overtaken the world in barely a month, vastly sped up by millions of flights connecting every corner of the globe. Slower, temporarily forgotten, but even more serious is the climate crisis. Since the current interglacial began around 12,000 years ago, we've largely basked in the kind climates of a world where ice caps are dormant. Without the Industrial Revolution, there probably would have been a few thousand more golden years before the mercury began juddering downwards. Instead, the massive release of CO2, outstripping anything from the entire Pleistocene and beyond, has delayed the next ice age indefinitely. What's happening is unprecedented. Over the next millennium, roughly 30 generations, we are heading into a world hotter and more dangerous than any previous hominin survived. The Eemian, 120,000 years ago, was on average just a degree or two warmer than today, yet along with hippos in the Thames, sea levels were 5 to 7 metres or 15 to 22 feet higher. Coasts where picturesque cottages and teeming cities now stand were swamped, and that's with far lower CO2 levels than we've already reached. In the absence of immediate, drastic action, the most up-to-date climate models put us on track for a terrifying future. Polar ice caps are at genuine risk of disappearing, and if so, oceans would rise by 20 metres or 65 feet or more. In the past year, the Great Barrier Reef has withered. The Arctic, Amazon, and Australia have all been ablaze, and heat records have been breaking like waves, one after the other. Over the ancient Eurasian steppe superhighway where Neanderthals once trod, Pleistocene corpses melt out from vast Yadoma ice peats. Mammoth feet, wolf heads, entire infant cave lions, like some ghastly outriders of doom. The Great Thaw might even be how we meet Neanderthals for a third encounter. Somewhere still ice-clenched by 50,000-year-old muds and permafrost, a body surely lies. We might console ourselves with the knowledge that Neanderthals survived similar extremes of climate change. As glaciers expired, the land itself must have seemed to disintegrate as old permafrost bubbled up into lake-speckled bogs running horizon to horizon. Hillocks appeared and disappeared like gigantic seasonal fungi. Forests staggered and drowned, vast craters opened up. Entire mountainsides liquefied like ice cream as soil, plants, and everything slid off, despoiling local ecosystems and once lucid rivers, the infrastructure of life, ran heavy with sediment as the land was sloughed off. All this, and they held on. But a Eurasia with maybe a few hundred thousand souls is very different to today's teeming millions. Neanderthals could move to try and escape hard times. We have no guidebook for the destination our sprawling, industrialised, unimaginably complicated civilization faces. What's been shockingly proven by COVID-19 is that, even with technological buffering, we're on a course for uncertainty and ever greater instability. This future of blistering sun, suffocating cities, flood, tempest, and maybe more pandemics, is like a bison thundering towards us. If we do not move fast, our children's children will be impaled. And bleeding from them out onto the ground will be the last Neanderthals.